You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and 15 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here this morning. And I hope you have a great day with your family. And that you give the Lord thanks for your father and let him know how much you love him. I'm blessed to have two fathers, and one of my fathers is here today, Charles Armstrong, my father-in-law, is here today. And so I'm excited for them to be here. If you're a guest with us today, welcome. We're glad that you chose to come worship at Whitestone, and we hope that it engages your heart and your mind this morning. We're going to begin in John chapter 14, and we're just going to kind of walk through the Word together this morning and look at what the Word has to say, beginning in verse 1. Now, we actually looked at this passage, these first three verses, a little bit last week, first four verses, where Jesus is talking about the fact, he's telling the disciples that he's going to go prepare a place for them. And he's talking about he's going to go prepare a place for them in heaven. And he says, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to be with me. And he said, but his disciples begin to have some questions. And that's really, we're going to be looking at most of what happens after that. But let's begin reading in verse 1, John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Because Jesus has been telling his disciples that he's going to be going away. And at this point, they really don't know what he's talking about. But Jesus has been trying to prepare them for the fact that he's going to be crucified. He's no longer going to be with them, but it's kind of a mystery to them. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled at what I'm saying. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. All right, he says, I'm going to go to heaven. That's what he's saying. They don't know this, but he's saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back someday, and I'm going to take you to be with me. Now look at the very next verse. Verse 5 says this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't understand what you're saying. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, many of us have heard that before. Jesus didn't say, well now, Thomas, the way is this. The way is a formula. And if you'll pray this or believe this or accept this, or the way is when you reach a certain age, or the way is when you meet some certain people that will impact your life in a certain way. Jesus didn't say any of that because he dealt with the very core issue of when Thomas said, how do we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas the exact same thing he said to Martha when Martha started talking about a future resurrection. Thomas said, how do we know the way? And Jesus brought us all the way back to what's the most very basic, most very fundamental thing in all that we believe. And he said this, Thomas, look at me. I'm the way. It's in me. Martha said, Jesus, I know that Lazarus, my brother, will rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, Martha, I'm not talking about a future resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. And he who dies will live again. Jesus said, it's me. It's me. So for you and I, when we say, I just wish I had more peace about this. Jesus says, I'm peace. And when you and I say, I just don't have direction. I wish I had more direction. Jesus would say, listen, I'm the way. I'm direction. What you and I, every basic need, every fundamental need, every secondary need, every top level need, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual or relational, every need is met in one person. And Jesus says it's not about this person, it's not about this formula, it's not about this moment in time, it's about me. And so Jesus points Thomas right back to what really matters. You see, Thomas, don't get caught up. Don't get lost in what I'm talking about. Don't get lost in the fact that I say, I'm going to go prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back and bring you to myself. And Thomas is going, but how do we know the way? How do we know this way? And Jesus says, Thomas, just stay focused on what? It's me. I'm the way. If you'll trust me, everything else will make sense in its own time. Did you hear that? If you'll look to me for direction, if you'll look to me for peace, if you'll look to me for answers, if you'll look to me for meaning, if you'll look to me for purpose, if you'll look to me for hope, if you'll look to me for comfort, listen, you're so caught up and you're so blinded and you're so worried about everything else that's going on. Listen, it's me. It's just me. And when you make it all about me, all this will work out in the right time. And what will happen is, Thomas, when you begin to discover that I'm the way, I'm the way, I'm the way, and you make it about me, you won't be as worried about when everything else makes sense. Because you'll put your trust and your faith and your security and your hope in me. And that's really all that matters. And so Jesus begins to say this, I'm the way, just like He said to Martha, I'm the resurrection. Verse 6 says this, Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know what my Father is well. Now, here we're getting ready to transition. Listen to this. Jesus said, if you know me, you know my Father. If you know me, you know God. You and I sometimes think, well, I just wish I knew how to love God. Or when I say, God, I love you, God, I wish I knew what that meant. Or some people say, I wish I knew what God looked like or what God thought or how God would want me to respond in this situation. Listen, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father's heart is, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God would want you to respond in this situation, look at the life of Jesus. If you want to know what God values, look at what Jesus values. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. And now Philip begins to speak. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen who has seen the Father. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And so he talks to Thomas and now he talks to Philip. And he says to him, men, if you know me, you'll know the Father. And Philip begins to say, well, how can we know the Father? He says, will you show us the Father? Help us to see the Father because our hearts long for the Father. We believe that you're the Messiah, but we want to see God. We want to know God. And what does Jesus say? Listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, if you've heard my teachings, if you've heard the way I love people, if you've seen the values that I have, then you've seen the Father. It's me. Listen. For you and I, our answers, our hope, our purpose, our meaning, our comfort, our deliverance, everything is found in a person. It's not in a book. It's not in a secret that we just haven't discovered yet. It's not in any class. It's not in any lecture. It's not in any some magic words that somebody's going to utter to us and we're going to go, oh, that's how it all makes sense. Jesus says this. It's found in a person, see? Life, meaning, everlasting life, it's all found in a person. And it all centers around Jesus. And it's one of the most liberating, comforting, freeing, offensive ways there is in all mankind. Because it's only found in one person. Jesus says it's all about me. Verse 10. Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me and the words I say to you are not just my own? Rather, it's the Father living in me and who's doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And then He says this, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Why did Jesus perform so many miracles? Why did He attract crowds? Why did He attract thousands and 10,000s? Why did He do it? So He could point people to the Father. He says, if you don't believe my words, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, we're going to camp out right here, look at this. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even what? Well, now this is a heavy statement. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these. because I'm going to the Father. Now, what does that mean? I mean, that sounds like a really heavy statement. Anyone who has faith in me will not only do things, you will do things greater than me. What did Jesus do? What was His first miracle? His first miracle, He was at a wedding. And His mother came to Him and He said, "We've run out of wine." And He's thinking, "What's that to me?" And she kind of just leaves Him, "Well, I know who you are. I know you can make it happen." And kind of have this mother-son thing going on for a little bit. And she walks away and He leaves her to believe that He may or may not do anything. She walks away. And He has all the attendants to fill up all of these containers with water. And usually at a wedding, people serve the best first, and then when people get a little intoxicated, they serve the worst wine later. And Jesus turns hundreds of gallons of water into wine. And they serve it. And the people begin to say, "This is you saved the best wine for the end." And the thing is, everybody's probably already had all the wine they want. And Jesus doesn't just serve just enough. He doesn't make just enough. He makes more than anybody's going to even drink. He makes hundreds of gallons of wine and He makes it the best. You're going to do things even greater than this. Turned any water into wine lately? Jesus was with 400 people. They'd been with Him. They loved listening to Him so much they skipped meals. They fasted. They were with Him all day long. And they said, "We love what You're giving to us so much, it doesn't matter. Food doesn't matter. We just want to be with You. We want to hear You. We want to listen to You. We want to learn from You. We want to receive from You." Disciples finally come to Him and say, "Jesus, we probably need to get these folks something to eat. There's a bunch of them here." Scripture says, one time it says 400, another time it says 500, and it just says men. Estimations are probably a few thousand people. And a boy brings a few fish and a few loaves of bread, just a handful. And Jesus takes that and says He begins to break it. He just begins to break it and it begins to multiply. And the disciples have them sit. They've got it all organized. They have them sit in groups of 50. They begin to take all this food out to all these people. And when they had ate their fill, they collected 12 basketfuls left over. Listen, He didn't give everybody just a little. He let everybody eat as much as they wanted and there was some left over. Are you seeing the pattern? Are you seeing the character? He's going to give us more than we ever asked for. More than we'll ever need. More than we'll ever use. That's His character. That's who He is. Listen, God loves you more than we'll ever take in. And He wants you to be happy. Some of us don't believe that. Some of us think, "Oh, that's a man-centered gospel," or "I'm not worthy," or maybe it's because you haven't been loved that way. But listen, God loves you, and at His heart's desire, He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have more than you've ever had before. That's not a prosperity gospel. That's just the truth. And then it says that one time the disciples were out on the lake and there was a storm that rose up and they were by themselves and they thought they were going to capsize and they look out and what's happening? Jesus is walking to them on the water. Jesus says, "You'll do greater things than these." You hear the weight of that? You'll feed more people. You'll do greater things than walk on the water. You'll do greater things than turn water into wine. Jesus healed people who were blind, not who were blind last year, but who had been born blind. They've been blind all their life. And Jesus, so that the Father would receive glory, so that Jesus would be able to, when He said the words, people would listen because they'd never seen a man born blind receive his sight. And when Jesus healed him, people began to listen to the message. They began to listen to the fact that God loved them and He had a way for them and the way was in this person. And when Lazarus was dead, not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, But Jesus waited till he was good and dead 4 days. And then he went and rose him from the dead. And Jesus said, you'll do greater things than these. What's he saying? What's he saying? Does he mean that you and I are going to take water and we're going to turn it into wine? Does he mean that you and I are going to raise people from the dead? Does he mean that you and I are going to heal people who've been born blind? Is that what he's talking about? Well, he says to the disciples, he said, you're going to do these things and greater things. But you know what the greater things are? It was something that Jesus never did. And he said, you're going to do greater things than these. You know what that is? You see, Jesus was preaching and teaching to a pre-Easter people. Jesus was preaching and teaching to a pre-resurrection people. You see, Jesus hadn't died yet. He hadn't resurrected yet. There wasn't a message yet that he had what? Rose from the dead. That he had conquered sin. That he had conquered death. Why? Because who raised him? He raised himself. Who laid down his life? He laid down his own life and he raised himself. And listen, when that happened, you and I received the greatest gift there was. You and I received the ability to have freedom over the sin that controls our lives. We can say no now. Before him, we couldn't say no. Death is just a doorway. I walked out of my house this morning. It was dark when I inside. It was cool. It was quiet. It was nice. I walked out of my doorway into a whole different atmosphere. It was warm. The birds were singing. People were out. That's just a doorway. You walk from one atmosphere into the next. When you take your last breath, you'll take another breath in eternity. And so death's just a doorway. And Jesus said, he conquered death. And you know what he says? You're going to do greater things than these. You know what the greater things are? The greater things is you and I get to explain the miracles. You and I get to explain to people. That's the greater thing. You and I get the privilege of living out the Word. You and I get the honor of saying, this is who Jesus is. This is what He did. You see, He did His teaching and His preaching before His resurrection. You'll do greater things. You'll proclaim that He's alive. You'll show people that He's living. That's what you'll do. And it's greater than that. First He says, I'm the way. Then He says, I'm the Father of one. Then he says, you're going to do even greater things than this. Let's look on. Verse 15. Actually, let's skip down to about verse 21. Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. Down in verse 21, he says this. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now Judas asked a question. First it was Thomas, then it was Philip. Now listen to Judas, not Iscariot. Verse 22 said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Judas thinks Jesus is saying, I'm going to show myself to you. This is what I'm going to do for you. And he says, now why would you show yourself just to us but not to the world? And Jesus essentially says, I will show myself to the world. Look at the next verse. Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And Jesus says this, listen, that's the word. If anyone loves me, you're asking me, will I show myself to the world? If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now look at just the opposite, verse 24. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now, I want you to look at this verse right here. This is just as exciting as greater things. I want to tell you. This is awesome. Look at verse 23. He says this, my Father will love him, those who obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him. And what will they do? And we will make our home with him. Wow. Wow. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're just checking out Jesus, and that's awesome. Wow, it's incredible that you would have enough faith and enough trust to come here to hear more about Jesus when you're just exploring Him. Hear what He's saying. He's the way. He's the way. We get the privilege of living that out. And then He says this, if you love Me and you obey My teaching, the Father and I will come and we'll make our home with you. You know what it feels like to go home, don't you? You know what it feels like to be home? You know what it's like to be on a trip? You've been away for a while. And somewhere along the way, you're like, you've been gone long enough. And you're thinking, I'm ready to get home. Or maybe it was just a really fun trip and it didn't hit you till you're about halfway home. And you got home and you're like, man, this is the best feeling in the world when you walk in the house. When you get to home, because you know what? As Dorothy said, there's no place like it. There's no place like home. Why? Because you're safe. Because this is where you're known. This is what's real. This is what's comfortable. This is what matters. You're home. It's good to go other places. But this is home. This is home. I remember growing up, I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, a little town called Spruce Pine, and I grew up in a neighborhood that our church was in our neighborhood. I walked to church. And that's not one of those stories, you know, trying to make my kids feel bad. I walked to church and walked home. It's about a third of a mile. And so it was one of those neighborhood churches, and we walked to church and walked home. And I remember I love where I grew up. I absolutely love it. Knoxville's my home now. And this is where we call home, and I love it here. But I love where I grew up. That's my other home. And I remember even in high school, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I remember walking home from church. A lot of times I just walk home by myself. It would be my family or sometimes friends. Sometimes I just walk home by myself. Other people would be driving or whatever. And I would walk home. And I can remember this. For some reason, I was alone and it was after church. And I remember I would always just begin to just pray. Just pray. And usually those prayers turned into prayers of thanksgiving. I don't know why, but they did. And I just was so filled with thanksgiving for my family and for this family of believers that I got to do life with my whole life, Berry Chapel Baptist Church. And loved where I live. I just remember seeing the scenery as I walked home and just thanking God for this place. No place like it on earth. Just thanking God for home and home and home. And after college, I spent a year working as a youth pastor, and then I went to Texas for 5 years, to seminary, Alabama for 10 years, college ministry. I've been here 4 years. It's been 20 years since I lived at home. If I go about 5 or 6 months, there's just a longing. It just wells up in me because there's people there that know me. There's a land and a music and a faith and a people that are in my blood. And I long for it. And when I haven't been there, I just have to go. I have to go. You know why? Because it's home. And Jesus says, Me and the Father will make our home with you. You don't have to come to us. We'll come to you. We'll come to you. We'll make our home with you. We'll set up residence with you. We'll make life better than you've ever had it. And you'll be known, and you'll know, and it'll be real, and it'll be comfortable, and you'll never want to leave because you're home. Listen, if you're here today and you're just checking it out, He's home. He's the place you've been longing for that you didn't know about. And believer, you and I get to do greater things than even heal people. We get to tell people about home. We get to tell people He loves you and He wants you to be happy. Let's go on. Let's look at one more verse. One more passage. We're going to skip into 15. Look at verse 7. Jesus has been talking about the vine. He's talking about the fact that He's the vine. We need to remain in the vine. Verse 7 says this, If you remain in Me and My words remain in you. This is chapter 15. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Listen to that. You hear that? Sounds like a storybook, doesn't it? Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to what? My Father's glory. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. Look back at chapter 14, verse 13. We skipped this while ago, but I want you to see the parallel here. Back in chapter 14, verse 13 says this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring what? Glory to the Father." He says the same thing essentially. If you ask in my name, ask whatever you wish, and what will happen? You'll bring glory to the Father. It's what I prayed earlier. Listen, you and I don't ever have to wonder about the mystery of what life is about. I hear people say that, you know, maybe we'll never have the answer to this question, or maybe we'll never have the meaning to life, or maybe one day, you know, somebody will whisper something in our ear and we'll find out what the purpose is. Jesus says right here, you can ask for whatever you want in the name of Jesus and you'll get it. At meaning that it's about the things that Jesus cares about. I want to tell you, that's a ticket. That's a blank check. And he says, if it's something Jesus cares about, you ask for it and you'll get it. So that, big words, God may be glorified. God loves you and He wants you to be happy. And there's one way to happiness. There's only one. And for you and I, and I'm going to wrap up here, but for you and I, a lot of times, it's like this. You see, there's my life. And what am I going to do with my life? You see, it's me. And so, I'm going to make decisions. And I'm going to make God the most important thing in my life. And I'm going to have family. And I'm going to prioritize them. And I'm going to have friends. And I'm going to have work. And I want all of these things to be in the right place. I want them all to make sense. And I want to do the best job. I want to be a good son to the Father, and I want to be a good husband and a good father, and I want to do the right job at work, and I want to be a good friend, and I want to have the right friends, and I want to have some close friends and some acquaintances. And so we try to make all of this work. And so in the middle of all of that, you and I on a daily basis are thinking whether, and we may not say this out loud, but we're either happy or we're not happy. We have good days and bad days. How's your day? How are you doing? Well, not so good. Not happy, essentially. It's going great. Some good things have happened today, because it's about these things being in order is going to affect my happiness. God loves you and He wants you to be happy. He does. But how does that happen? You see, it's not when you and I are at the center and we've got family and God and work and friends and we're trying to make sense of it and we're working to make sense of it and we want to be the person that God wants us to be. But I want to tell you something. It's not till you and I make God the center. You see, God loves you and He wants you to be happy, and the way that you and I become happy is when the Father's glory is the thing that we pursue the most. Ask for whatever you will, and you'll receive it. It'll bring glory to the Father. And when you and I center our lives on Him, and then myself and my family and my friends, and my work, and my relationships, and everything else makes sense. Listen, you and I are going to live our lives from one of those two perspectives. Our lives are centered on something. And unfortunately, way too many days, my life is centered on me. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to do right. I have good intentions. But listen, it's when you and I say, Father, what You want's most important. The fact that when the Scripture says glory, what does that mean? That He would receive glory. It's one of those words that you could get lost in. You know what glory means? That He would receive praise. That He would receive honor. God, I want You to become famous in my life. I want Your renown to be made known. I want You to be praised. I want people to see You. I want You to be lifted up. And because that's the center part of my life, you know what? God loves you and He wants you to be happy. And when that happens, you'll have all the happiness that you need. Let's look at this very last verse, chapter 15, verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I've told you all this stuff so that you can have joy. I want you to be happy. And the path to happiness is when you make the fame of God the centerpiece of my life. That's when it matters. Listen, I want to encourage you to do something. If you'll pick this up, it'll change your life. It's not the book. It's the person in the book. If you'll pick this up on a regular basis, and you'll say, God, I just want you to show me who you want me to be, what you want me to do. If you'll pick this up, you'll have all the happiness and joy and direction and purpose you'll ever need. Let's pray together.